kick off hour number two, Friday edition. Big news for you, Houston Crest, on the uniform front. Tennessee,
we did it.
Back to the white
we
cleats.
We did it.
Is this a thing? Like every time we get a new coach, we got to flip the cleat, color.
I said it yesterday. Anything Pruitt did, just switch it up.
Well, that's what he did with Butch Jones. Like anything Butch Jones did, Pruitt switched it up.
Yeah.
So now we're back to Butch Jones.
No.
Okay.
Butch, those cleats were orange and white. We're going white with like black trim.
Black uniforms were, you know, seen in the photo shoot.
Oh no, those are going to be top secret. Heupel did say that though. He said, "Look good, feel good, play good. We're going to change up the uniforms a little bit."
All right,
I'm for it. But can we get Nike? Like, what are you doing? You know, it's funny. I went to before. On a vacation, I went to the new Dick's House of Sport at the mall, mm-hmm. which is awesome, by the way. It's huge.
Got the check.
Houston Big Dick's guy.
What are you doing? Really?
You like Dick's? What?
It is cool. Taking the kids over there. They got like,
climbing
the track
wall,
out
yeah.
there. Yeah.
Yeah. Track.
Yeah, you haven't seen the running track outside?
No, I saw the field. I saw the field.
Yeah, there's a track around it, like three lanes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But I was actually looking at the football cleats, the new cleats by Nike. They're awesome. But
yeah.
They didn't have, like, a Tennessee orange color.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if they gave us these first, and maybe they're working on, like, you know, the 151 orange cleats. But they look good. White cleats. Make it look fast, you know? If we're going to play fast, might as well look fast. What?
Nothing. I'll get to it later.
Oh, okay. But, no, big fan. We'll look good. We don't have any black in the uniform. Why would we wear black cleats? With white socks. It's just...
It's
because
it's
tradition.
It's clunky.
I've never
it's not good.
It's tradition.
Tennessee shouldn't even use the color black at all.
It's not even that traditional. Like, we've worn white cleats in the past. Like, it's... You know, we wore white cleats in 85. The Sugar Vols. They were white cleats. Tony Robinson back there in white cleats, white socks, just tossing bombs for touchdowns. Daryl Dickey. Chuck Davis. Jeff Powell roaring down the sidelines of the Superdome in white cleats. Looks good. I'm a fan. If we're not going to spat the black ones, you might as well go white.
Mm-hmm.
Change uniforms up a little bit. Not too much. You don't want to be Oregon. But, yeah, we can get a little creative. Got to do something to recruit. Count me in.
All right.
What, would you want to get to your thing? You were upset about something?
Nah, later.
Okay.
Just kind of still on the Texas-Oklahoma thing. Apparently, one of the big problems that Oklahoma's always had is the kickoff times with their Fox TV deal. They hate the 11 o'clock central kickoff times. You know, is Fox the one that calls it?
Big noon?
Big noon.
Big noon at 11?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yep.
So depending on the team.
Yeah.
I mean, if they have a noon kickoff on SEC Network, it's going to be the same thing. I mean, it's not going to be their big games, most likely, but...
Right, yeah. Well, they... I mean, didn't... isn't Oklahoma, Texas at noon?
Yeah, the Red River.
Yeah.
Always.
I wonder if they like that one at noon because it's tradition or if they want that one moved, too.
I guess we'll see. Because that game can't go away. It's a big deal.
The Longhorn Network apparently pays Texas, or they, you know, for being on the Longhorn Network, I guess ESPN pays Texas about $15 million a year.
Okay.
So, I don't know. Whatever math equation has to be done for what Texas makes as part of the SEC would need to eclipse that, and obviously everyone thinks it will. Wasn't Texas getting, like, some massive share of the Big 12 at one point?
I don't know. I heard some people saying that.
That's why Texas A&M, one of the big reasons they left. It's like, you know, we want to just go play in a conference where
it's split evenly.
The cut's the same, yeah.
But now that's why Texas and Oklahoma are leaving. Because, I don't know if they're still getting more. Right. But they could be getting a lot more if the other schools made money, which is why they're looking at. I mean, think about it. I mean, SEC has 14 teams. They only had 10. So just law of averages, say you're not going to be making as much, and then you're having to split what you make with. I mean, it, for Texas, at least it makes sense. I don't know how. Well, I take that back. Oklahoma was top. What did I say, Dave? Were they top five? They're seventh nationally. And then there wasn't another team until Kansas State at 29. So, yeah, I mean, these two, it makes sense. Get out of there.
Couple of updates real quick.
Mm-hmm.
As it relates to the last time a game was televised or not televised mm-hmm. between someone that was good. The year I was born, 1994, according to Callum.
Mm.
Appreciate him sending that in. Number 17, Washington State, South Carolina, and Memphis were not televised by a station or pay-per-view. Captain Touchback says, the devaluing of pageantry, tradition, and the passion that results from it is not a good thing. Change may be inevitable, but that doesn't mean it is good.
There wasn't a lot of pageantry when Georgia State came in and whooped us, and there wasn't a lot of pageantry when we beat, who was it? When Tennessee beats Tennessee Tech, 40-0, and it feels like you didn't play well. Like, there's no pageantry there. I mean, that's except people just going to the tailgate to eat good food, get a little buzzed, and then walk in the stadium for a quarter and a half. Like, I'd rather have a better game.
I mean, that's where I'm at. I will say from a tradition standpoint, I'm trying to think of, like outside of just because we play a team every year, like, I enjoy the pride of the Southland as they open the tee. Like, I get that. Like, that's tradition, the slapping of the sign, I'll give my all for Tennessee. I get that, the maxims. But as it relates to the opponents and keeping those, every league has really just
there was more
changed.
Pageantry the night Baker Mayfield and all those, Lincoln Riley and Stoops rolled in and played Tennessee here than there has been since in any SEC game. So give me more of that. I mean, that was the last time the stadium was, like,
mm-hmm.
really, I'll say one post, of the last times.
I mean, 2016 Florida was good, but it wasn't it anything
was,
like
that. Post-Philip Fulmer, that was the game.
The height.
No, that was it, for sure. Place was crazy.
Was
and
fun.
As we rank, like, fun games, I know that was a heartbreaking loss, but I categorize that as a fun game because there's moments in that game where you're like, holy crap, that we're making, you know.
Balls are back.
We're playing well. We might win. We might lose. This is fun. I mean, that place was – so, like, I don't know. I mean, yeah, there's it's everyone's going to separate what matters and what doesn't matter in college athletics. And some of the stuff that's changing I think will – or may, I guess, could kind of hurt the sport if they don't handle it right. But a lot of this only make it better.
It's just going to be different for a while. It'll take a little bit of getting used to, and then all of a sudden it'll be like, I mean, does it? I guess it still feels weird, but did it upset the SEC when we added A&M in Missouri? Like, it felt weird for a couple of years, and now it's just like, yep, they're with us now. No big deal.
Well, I mean, people said that about having South Carolina and Arkansas join. If you go back far enough.
It takes a second, but it's not.
Yeah, neither one of those additions has hurt the league, in my opinion.
I've always felt like South Carolina, though, was picture perfect for the ACC. But
then you're running into probably an A&M Texas thing. Like, they didn't want to have to compete with Clemson.
I don't know, but, like, until recently, wouldn't South Carolina have been the better brand?
I mean, yeah. What was it 81 when Clemson won their
whatever year Georgia did in, 80 or 81.
Georgia won it in 80. Was it Clemson the next year?
Yes, 81.
And then they wandered through the desert for 30 years.
Until they got Taj Boyd.
Thanks, Adam. You know who ran Taj Boyd off?
Yeah.
Lane Kiffin ran him off.
It's not as bad as whatever Lane Kiffin told Alshon Jeffries that he'd be, pumping gas?
Pumping gas. Yeah.
That's classic.
Actually, Lane said that he didn't say it. It was a member of his staff, but he's got to take credit for it.
Mm-hmm. I'd take credit for it, too. That was gold.
I mean, it didn't exactly pan out. Alshon was awesome at South Carolina and had a pretty good NFL career, last I checked. Matt on the horn?
He is.
Matt, you're on three now.
Let's go to Matt.
What's up, guys?
Morning, Matt.
Nate just said something that kind of rung my craw for.
Ooh, did it tickle your ears a little bit?
It tickled my ears a little bit. Yeah, I didn't ever think about it, man, but that's a true statement. That Oklahoma game was the last time we've had an SEC feel in that stadium, and that is really odd.
Well, we've kind of stunk since then, so. I mean, I think the Florida game in 2016 was pretty good, but, I mean, after we started losing in 2016, none of those games the rest of the season felt big. I do wonder now with Georgia coming late in the year if that might, you know, have a big-time atmosphere from time to time. If we can, you know, kind of cycle up a little bit.
I'll also say to that end, the later it gets into the season, and I know it's because Tennessee's been bad, but I do just think whenever the atmosphere is a game where it's so much colder outside, the fans won't get as rowdy. And so you don't get that. Like it's a hot summer day where you're able to tailgate all day, you know, you're feeling yourself and then you go into the stadium and you're got that good buzz going, you're ready for kickoff. I don't know if you're gonna necessarily get that if you're bundled up and it's cold.
I don't know if I kind of agree with that, but I kind of don't. I mean we just haven't had any night games. I mean, with that Oklahoma game, I was there. Wasn't that a night game? I know it was at least 3:30. I mean, I want to say that was under the lights.
It was a night game.
It kicked off. It was light-ish outside. I remember it being pretty cloudy, but, I mean, it was a night game by the time it finished, yeah.
It was like 7:38.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you suck, you're not going to get many primetime slots.
Right.
I'm back and forth on it, man. Like, I think it's awesome to have Texas and Oklahoma added in. Just for the fact of what you just said earlier, playing Oklahoma is, I mean, that's freaking awesome. And playing Texas, Tennessee versus Texas will be fun to watch. And that, I think that would bring just a raucous atmosphere over there. And you can still do all that stuff and keep the tradition and keep things going.
Sure.
But I do also think that there's just some, you know, I love playing Alabama every year, and I love playing some of those just old traditional that I know that, you know, progressively you're going to have to get away from it, but some stuff I don't want to see them get away from everything and just mix up all of it. Because some things have been happening just so long that, you know, you just don't want that Tennessee-Alabama rivalry has been happening forever. And it's just one of those things that should continue to happen. But look, man, if it betters the SEC and if it's going to help Tennessee, I'm almost to the point where I'm just tired of losing.
You're almost there?
Well, I mean,
I've been there for 10 years.
I'm ready to get. No, I've been there. But, I mean, you know, to give up Alabama, to give up that game, it sucks, man, because I love playing Alabama, but I also hate getting drubbed by them by 30 every year.
Right.
Man, I'll say this, and again, it could be a generational thing. There's not a game on our schedule that I'm like, we definitely need to have it on the schedule the next year. I mean, I'm not saying, like, don't, like, get rid of the opponent entirely, but it's like, what's wrong with playing them once every 2 years versus just having it every single season? And, like, there are a lot of people that were upset after COVID happened where you saw a lot of the South Carolina-Clemson game didn't happen, Florida-Florida State. Those regional matchups for within their state that ended up getting canceled that had, like, the 100 years. So it's like, I mean, I'm sure they'll bring it back, but whenever you look at the idea of it's to entertain, I can see them doing away with it. And, like, I expect Tennessee could get stuck in a position where they have to continue to play Alabama every year for the addition of Texas and Oklahoma. But, I mean, I don't think the powers that be really put too much stock into that happening.
They don't. But I think, I'm being, obviously, and if I'm just being brutally honest with you guys, I'm being selfish wanting that game. I mean, the reason I want it is just going back. Look, my dad took me to Alabama. You know, that was kind of I was raised in that, you know, it's October, it's orange, it's crimson, you know, all that stuff. But, and I would like to take my son to have that too. But look, I mean, hell, things change, man. I understand that. I'm ready for it. I don't care. I think Oklahoma, Texas is great. I was thinking, I mean, would you guys rather have, I'm not trying to derail the conversation and go a different direction, but I'm just looking at the way the SEC set up. I would have almost rather have had, like, North Carolina, just Miami, North Carolina, Florida State, and Clemson as opposed to Missouri, Texas A&M, Texas, and Oklahoma. I know those are four. You could say Texas and Oklahoma are bigger, obviously, but but strategically in the way the geographic is set up, I don't know.
I think that would hurt you more in recruiting, honestly. If you bring in those schools. Yeah, like, I mean, how many guys are we trying to fight against Texas to get? If you bring in North Carolina, Clemson.
We'll be fighting a ton now. That's what sucks. That's what scares me. We're going to be – Texas is now in the SEC, so they can pluck from the SEC pool. They couldn't use that. Or, you know, the SEC recruited itself.
But, I mean, like, if
Texas
you look at –
Texas is going to pull – do what?
I was just going to say, like, historically, I don't think you look too much of like, oh, well, they're in this conference, they're in that conference, that's why they're getting it. It's more – a lot of times with the kids, it is – A like, all right, well, we're used to going into this state. I don't think that now that Texas would be in the SEC, Texas is just going to all of a sudden start recruiting Tennessee and like start taking guys out of our backyard.
Oh man, I think you're wrong, dude. I think them being in the SEC is horrible for any other. I think Texas being in our conference is bad for every other team in our conference, big time.
I think it goes a little bit both ways. I mean, cause I think some kids grow up, you know, oh, yeah, I want to play in the Big 12. I want to, you know, play for Texas or whatever. But now, I mean, Tennessee can go into Texas now, too. I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can get the Texas
like,
kid.
Like, A&M got to the SEC. I mean, they've recruited okay, but it's not like they came in and just started setting the world on fire.
I mean, like, the Big 12, like, you would say it's nothing without Texas. But, man, I'm pretty sure Texas has only won the Big 12 three times in the last 25 years.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So, like, I get the prestige. But they, I mean, like, they're not there. Like, you should be more worried about Oklahoma, seeing as they just come and pluck players off our actual roster.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. All right, well, good stuff, guys.
Hey, man, I do have a quick question for you before you head out.
Yeah, well,
so, I was going to talk about this in the depot, and you mentioned the tradition part whenever it comes to the Alabama game. Outside of, like, it's just, like, what people know, and I get, like, they have that experience when they grow up. For the tradition part, is there, like, any other thing to that? Because, like, again, like, you know me. Like, I've not really experienced, like, I mean, I show up, I watch us get beat. Most people leave by halftime, and then it's a new thing. But, like, outside of the tradition, like, would there be a reason for having that game?
Probably not, but I just think I've been down to Alabama watching games. I've got 30 years. I'm 42, so let's say when I was 12, I was really becoming a Tennessee fan. I've hated Alabama and Florida, and Alabama more. I hate Florida too, but I've talked so much trash with Alabama fans and just gone. I've had stuff thrown at me at Alabama games. I've came up here. I've talked trash to them up here. I hate Alabama, man. It's just you get 30 years of that, and you're just trying to say, let's just get rid of it and let's move Oklahoma into the slot. I don't know if there's really a way you could answer the question other than just saying it is maybe it's the emotional attachment.
No, I think that's fair. I really do. And again, like, I mean, I'll be the first to admit, like, I can't say that I've experienced, so I don't have that personal tie to it. So it's like,
yeah, well, I'll end with this, and you guys tell me. I mean, if you're going to play football every year, do you guys feel better slotting? If you could play Texas and Oklahoma, and you take Florida and Alabama off the schedule? I mean, that to me seems like that would kind of suck. You're not playing Florida or Alabama, but you do get to play two good teams. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, happy Friday, guys. Talk to you Monday.
Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it, bud.
Just perspective, I guess.
Yeah,
I wouldn't want to take Florida and Georgia off the schedule and replace it with Oklahoma and Texas.
I wouldn't either.
Well, I'm not for
feel right.
I'm not for giving up playing one team for another. It's more of I just want the schedule to be consistent.
Mm-hmm.
From a like no like a fairness standpoint, and like you're rotating opponents, because like I'm big on like the well, if you want to experience what the SEC has to offer, like give teams that opportunity to go to those other stadiums and play other teams. It's like I just. Like again, and maybe like you could say it's just because I'm used to just like automatically losing these games, but it's like, oh yeah, we're going down to Florida, get to see that one again. Like I like that's the thing I like about the NFL is like you have that rotating schedule to where it's like, oh yeah, I know this year I'm as a team that plays in the AFC South, I'm getting the NFC North this season.
Yeah, but you're also always playing the same teams in your division twice, so it's like, I mean, I think there's room for both. You know, like you can keep certain games each year, and then it's like what Nate was talking about yesterday. Like it's just going to be about how they, you know, division this thing up when and if it goes to 16. I mean, if they do you're going to play these three teams, you're going to play these, you know, different pods or whatever they're calling it now. I mean, I think the SEC has certain games that they don't want to lose. And they're probably going to listen to every school who says, well, you know, we play this one and this is, but at some point you're going to have to cut something. You know, like Tennessee can't say, well, every year we have to play Florida, Georgia, Alabama, Kentucky. Like you can't, you know, you're eventually probably going to have to lose one of those games on an every year basis. But I think if you,
Is it better to schedule just the whole league like on a rotation so that you play as many teams as possible, as often as possible?
That's what I would like, but again, that's just a personal opinion. I do think as far as just trying to create something new, that's the best approach. But for the people that like hammer their fist about tradition, that's not a good idea.
I mean, what if we're thinking about it all wrong? Instead of having, well, you got this division and then you got this cross, like what if every team just plays one or two teams every single year? I mean, obviously, Auburn, Alabama got to play every year. You know, Ole Miss, Mississippi State got to play every year. Do we make it two teams? Does every SEC team get two teams they play every year?
Right, but then it becomes like, how do you sort that game out, right? Like, Florida's going to say, well, yeah, we have to play Georgia every year. They have played LSU every year. I don't know if they necessarily want that game.
Dan Mullen said he's out on the cross-division rivals. He was the one that talked about it.
In this scenario, you got like no division. Like you're going to play everyone so frequently.
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm just saying like they have played LSU, so would that be a game that Florida's like, well, you know, this is a rivalry. We play LSU every year.
I have to go get another sheet of paper, aren't I?
Probably, yeah. But like, yeah, of course, Alabama and Auburn, they're going to say, oh, yeah, we play each other. And then Auburn's going to say, oh, yeah, well, we also play Georgia every year. It's the Deep South's oldest rivalry. You know, it's a big game. But then if you're Tennessee.
Spin that to Tennessee. Like, yeah.
No, that's what I'm
saying. Do you want Alabama and Vanderbilt? Or do you want Alabama and Florida?
That's what I'm saying. So if you're Tennessee, it's like, oh, yeah, battle for the beer barrel with Kentucky. In-state rival, Vanderbilt. Third Saturday in October, Alabama.
Right. How do you
pick? Then it's like, would you say no to Florida and Georgia every year? Like, that's what I'm saying. It gets tough.
But if you keep the every year game so small, you might be playing. I don't know what the math is on that.
I think it would come out to every 2 years you at least play each team. So if you don't get them 1 year, you're getting them the next.
Well, how many conference games are we talking?
Well, but if there's 16 teams, right, there's 15 games, okay, right? There's 15 games that you have to play to get through the entire league.
So, and if you're at 8 conference games.
But you got those permanent games.
So it'd be 3 years. You play every team every 3 years.
Well, how many are your permanent?
If you only go one permanent, then you would get them every other year, right? Is that math right?
Yeah. Should be.
Or are we missing one?
Well, I mean,
like,
I think in this
out.
Conversation, too, you have to add an extra game to where you have 9 conference games.
Which is happening eventually.
So every 2 years, I got to play 15 teams, but then I'm going to play one
team.
Well,
at that
twice.
Point, if there's two guaranteed, you'd have 7 slots for 13 teams.
Just give every team one rival. That's it. One. You get one. And then you play your others. So Tennessee still gets to play. I mean, I would just give Tennessee Vanderbilt, and then you get Alabama every other year. You get Georgia every other year. You get Florida every other year. You get Oklahoma every other year. Texas every other year. LSU every other year.
If we got Vanderbilt, maybe that's how we get back.
There you go.
Well, it hadn't been the case. Someone forwarded it to us yesterday.
This is the Prez Nate for UT plan.
What?
Everybody get on board with this?
Hadn't been the case? What are you talking about?
I mean,
getting back, I mean, like, that's the most competitive rivalry in the last 10 years in all of college sports.
Davey,
can you identify one, like, the best one for all teams and match them up pretty easily?
See, I don't think so. I think there'd be too much argument.
I think you could.
There's going to be two examples where it's going to be like, why are we doing this? Because here's what you would do.
Like, who's
Kentucky's? We'll do it on the other side, actually.
Who's Kentucky's?
That's one that's going to be out, but I mean,
we'll figure it
who's
out.
Who's South Carolina's?
We'll figure it out.
I can tell you.
On Kentucky. The side. This segment of the program brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Check them out online at tvacreditunion.com and become a member. It's the official credit union of 3 and Out for good reason. Anything a bank can do, they got you covered at the credit union, and their service is impeccable. from top to bottom. Everyone I've ever dealt with has been helpful, polite. Even if there's any type of, you know, mix-up or miscommunication, that will solve it for you very quickly or find out who can. And they do great work over there at the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Been doing it for over 86 years now. It's incredible. Over 30 branches right here in East Tennessee.
So did you pick your rivals yet?
Yeah, it was.
We figured it out.
It was easy. It took us,
well, I know it was the break, so I was trying to bring it to the show.
It took us one guess. You said on the way out, well, who's Kentucky? And then you said, who's South Carolina? It's like, well, Kentucky is South Carolina. And then we went back through it, and Billy Williford even had it to us before the break ended, and it's exactly the same thing that we came up with, and it took us one try. Texas, Oklahoma. Well, let's start with the non-negotiable SECs. Alabama, Auburn.
Ole Miss, Mississippi State.
Ole Miss, Mississippi State. Georgia, Florida. Then you get
I would say that's negotiable, but.
Well, I mean, that's the cocktail party. Then you've got the golden boot of Arkansas, LSU. You've got Tennessee, Vanderbilt, in-state. Texas, Oklahoma, Red River. And then all that's really left is A&M, Missouri, that came in the league together, and Kentucky, South Carolina.
Mm-hmm. No,
done.
Yeah. Just insulting, though.
And if you do that, well, don't look at it as – if it makes you feel better, don't look at it as a rivalry.
Just call it a rivalry then.
Just look at it as convenient scheduling. If you went with that plan, it would allow you to play every team in the league every other year. So every other year you play Texas, Oklahoma, Florida, Georgia, Alabama, Auburn, LSU.
It's a great selling point to kids as well. And I understand a lot of people get set in the minds like, well, this is what I know, so this is what I want.
Right.
But if you are trying to sell these kids on, listen, you're going to play the best schools in the country every year, and you're going to have the opportunity to travel to all these different stadiums, you're going to get an experience unlike anything that's ever been seen in college football.
If you stay all 4 years, you get to go to every school in the SEC. Mm-hmm. And even if you're only a three-year player, you still play every team in the SEC. It would honestly probably make the most sense.
I know things got changed because of COVID and they added the extra games, but what's the current gap between teams now based off the East-West setup?
7-5. Isn't that right? 7 years for certain teams and then 5 for the others?
Yeah.
Other than the permanent crossover?
Yes, that's right.
Which is laughable. I mean, really, the schedule right now sucks. But, you know.
That's what we know.
But, yeah, but the good old days.
Jeez.
I mean, it is. It's just.
The Big 12 selling point, even though it's about to change, it's the only conference where you play every team
right
each year to determine the champion.
So have a conference where you play every team every other year. And we pointed out there's kind of a top half and bottom half right now in terms of how good teams are. Mm-hmm. So you could craft a schedule matrix that could just roll forever with this 16-team setup. And, of course, they got time to do it. I mean, this stuff's not going in until whatever. But then you don't have to have the Tennessee fans don't even have to have the argument of which is a better rivalry, Alabama or Florida.
No, well, that's like, I mean, we like that, yeah, we have it now, but I mean, the SEC will decide.
It's just like, no, well, you'll get those teams both every other year. I mean, put them in alternate years. So, you know, that's how you could make the schedule out too. You say
Florida 1 year, Georgia the next. Yeah, Bama 1 year, Auburn next.
Is there a scenario where that wouldn't happen, never mind. I was going to say where you get the same team 2 years in a row that's not a rival, but based off the numbers, it just wouldn't work out.
No, you'd never play anybody in a row. That's the whole point. Yeah.
Based off 9, is there a chance?
I was going to say, if it went to 9, I think it's possible.
That's where, in my mind,
there'd be a back-to-back.
You got to keep it at 8.
But it's going to 9. Like, that's the next thing.
Well, then this is my problem with college. Like, they should just figure out the – like, where do they want to be? Like, no one knows where they want to be. It's like they all are just.
I think it's moving to that.
They only think about tomorrow, right? And the only reason they schedule games 10 years out is because the AD wants the credit for scheduling the games tomorrow. That's the only reason they do that. Like, no one ever, you know, comes up with a kind of a master plan for what's good for the sport, because A lot of these guys aren't even sure how long they'll be in their job, so they're just trying to make sure they cash tomorrow's check or next month's check.
That's why you need the commissioner.
Right. I mean, you really do. Makes sense.
Greg Sankey, come on down. Or Saban, just hire him away. It's fine. Can't believe we gave ourselves Vanderbilt. Feels a little guilty, doesn't it?
Nope. Callum says Alabama, Vanderbilt, Kentucky absolutely should be on the schedule every single year. All other games do not matter. I mean, that's just opinion, though. Like,
That's what's funny. Like, everyone has their non-negotiables, but they're all different.
I mean, some people would say,
I agree.
I got to have Alabama and Florida every year.
Mm-hmm.
Some people would say, I need
Georgia and Kentucky.
Yeah.
I say Alabama, Florida, and Kentucky are the three that you should try and keep at all
Kentucky,
costs.
You think?
I just like
Kentucky. I don't need to play Kentucky every year.
I don't care about having the give me's.
Huh?
As you would say. Like some, like the Vanderbilt, Kentucky is like, oh, well, they're usually down, so like give them to me. It's like,
yeah, like I don't have to play Vanderbilt every year. I don't care.
Well, I think Kentucky, I mean, that's a pretty competitive series now.
Yeah, like that's but like, I don't circle the Kentucky game on the calendar every year.
I just hate Kentucky fans.
See, that's where a lot of people get into.
I don't think I like any fans of any other team.
And they put their preference in there.
One team rivalry is then now every other team is equal. And so when somebody's like, "Well, I would rather play Florida than Alabama," it's like, "Okay, fine."
Now you got your turn. Yeah.
You and the guy that prefers Alabama are the same. It's fair.
Also, in a way, wouldn't it make those games a little bit bigger?
Bigger. Oh yeah.
This is an Alabama year.
I got to make sure I get tickets to this.
Yeah.
And you also talk about like your season ticket package. Like, each year, it's just going to be better.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Because we know right now, it's like, well, we got Alabama and Florida.
I don't give a crap about playing Missouri every year.
Well,
I'd rather have Oklahoma more, Texas more.
You know how bad it would suck if you're playing, let's say you're playing Florida one of the years you have Florida on your schedule. I don't know. You'll say you go to overtime, close game, nail biter, intense. Say you squeak out a victory. Or you lose. Either way. And it's like, oh, wait. Got to wait 2 years now to play them again.
Yeah, I mean, that's the 2 years on the revenge factor. I'm not a big fan of that.
But he's
got a point. Like, that's the thing. It's like, yeah, we lost last year, but we get our redemption attempt. But now it's like, yeah, we got to wait 2 years.
Chris says, just let if teams want to play that badly, just make it a non-conference game every other year. So Alabama and Tennessee can still play each other on their – non-play year as a non-conference game.
Don't like that. So it wouldn't count against your conference schedule?
Yeah.
No. I mean, I get the theory.
Get your revenge. I mean, the World Cup and the Olympics are more, they're more important because they do it every 4 years. Like, Florida's going to play Alabama for the first time in, what, we said, either five or seven years. It's the first time at that location in 12 years. It's like, Auburn can't get revenge against Tennessee for Jeremy freaking Pruitt beating them for 5 or 7 years.
Win the game.
If we lose
Thanks to COVID, they got it.
If we lose again to LSU with 18 guys on the field, we can't get revenge for 7 years. I'd much rather that be two.
No. Yeah, with those teams,
I want to play Kentucky every year. Like, give me a break.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Make it every other.
But with West opponents, yeah, it's like you just come to expect that. But it's weird because you're going to go from playing Florida every year to every other year. It just feels weird. That's all.
Okay.
Because those are right. I mean, they're your division rivals now.
Yeah, and you still get them every other year.
No, I know. I'm just saying, like, the whole revenge thing, like, that's. And it's just because it's familiar. I'm not saying I'm against it. I'm just saying it's familiar. So that's why people are for it.
Uncle Bobo sends this to us, and here's a thread. It started with Brett McMurphy, and it goes back to Dan Mullen and his comments at SEC Media Days that I was referencing earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So Brett says, UF Dan Mullen on hosting Alabama for the first time in 10 years. I'd like to do away with permanent crossover games between East and West Division teams so you get these types of games more often. Obviously, that's what we're talking about here. And then John below him says, agree, and it's more fair as well, which is kind of like what I've been on the last 2 days as far as like an equal playing field. Like, there's no point in Tennessee starting a game behind Georgia and Alabama or Georgia and Florida in the standings because you always have LSU or Alabama on the schedule. Screwed that up pretty bad. He then says, so Ole Miss gets Vandy every year. Like, okay. But then here's what Justin says.
Which makes no sense.
Yeah. In the last 57 years, six teams have won the SEC. Bama, Auburn, LSU, Georgia, Florida, Tennessee. Just so happens that those teams are each other's crossover games.
But what's the point?
It's just, there's no parity. It's just like...
Yeah. The bad teams play bad teams and it still doesn't help them.
Yeah.
Because they're bad also.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it's matched up pretty well. Okay, so here, this could be Tennessee's schedule, and I'm just going to use the way Billy Williford broke it down because they're paired up, so it's pretty easy. So Tennessee would play Vanderbilt every year, and then on, say, you know, even years or whatever, you play Texas, Alabama, Georgia, Ole Miss, Arkansas, A&M, and Kentucky. Now, on odd years, you get Oklahoma, Auburn, Florida, Mississippi State, LSU, Missouri, and South Carolina. It'd be like that for every team. It's so easy.
It'd
be so easy to keep track of, too.
That would be.
Like, you'd know you got Florida in evens and Alabama in odds or vice versa. You'd know, okay, every other one of those, it's at that place.
Yeah. I mean,
maybe it's just me. Maybe it's a me thing. But, like, I understand.
I'm right there with you.
I do like when Tennessee has Georgia on the schedule every year. I like when they have Florida on the schedule every year. I like in a way that Alabama's on the schedule every year, but I don't really care about the other games. Like, we could play, Vandy, South Carolina, Missouri, Kentucky. Those could be every other for me. I would rather see Tennessee. What's a comparable team? I would rather see Tennessee play LSU. Maybe I almost would rather see Tennessee play LSU every other year and Florida every other year than play Florida every year.
Because
the LSU game just adds a whole other dynamic. They might be really good. They might be
beatable. Well, that's
beatable.
The thing, too.
Who knows?
You just have those ebbs and flows. And so it's like, well, you could catch somebody on a good year versus a bad year. And it's just like, I just think that would add to the drama of the sport.
When you still get them every other. Yeah. So it's enough to where it's not going to be like a 5 or 7 year ebb and flow. Because we've joked that Tennessee always catches a West team when they're hot.
It's true.
And it might have happened again this year, depending on how good Ole Miss is.
And Houston, you mentioned it's like, well, I don't circle this game on the calendar. Like, I don't know if there's a game I circle on the calendar at all now. Like, it's just because you talk about, like, the rivalries. And again, this could just be because it's like the games haven't been competitive.
I mean, it was Florida for years. Even when we were losing whatever it was in a row. Like, it was still, at least for me.
Well, it was always good teams, and it was always close.
Well,
like, or,
yeah. Well, in the 90s, it was good, but what was the stat as far as, like, when you first started to play them every year? It wasn't until the late 80s, right? That Florida became a consistent...
I think early 90s.
Okay.
I think.
So, and again, that's when they first went to divisions in the SEC. So, it's like, you had that great stint in the 90s, and so, obviously, that held over for about 10 to 15 years. But it's not like, I get a Tennessee fan still hold on to it, but, like, Florida fans don't consider that a rivalry.
It started being played every year in 1990.
90. That's what I thought was early 90s.
Yeah, and Tennessee won two of the first three, and then Florida won five in a row, and then it was back and forth the next little stretch from 98 to, you know, through 2004. Tennessee won four, Florida won four, and then Florida, you know, ever since.
Yeah.
Except
for
that one.
Yeah. Good times.
Final segment, hour number two. Just got depressed. Every scheduling conversation just ends with,
yeah, but we
how
stink.
Much better it'd be if we were good.
Well, I got some good news. We made Antonio Gates Jr.'s top five.
Oh, nice. For basketball?
No, football. What?
Okay. Oh, Gates, wasn't
I'm assuming that's Antonio Gates' son.
He was a basketball guy, wasn't he?
If he's Antonio Gates Jr., he is Antonio Gates' son. If you're asking if it's that Antonio Gates, the answer is also yes.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We are there with Michigan State, Florida, Penn State, Kentucky.
What happened with that kid that was supposed to, well.
That running back that yeah.
went to Georgia?
Went to Georgia. He looks like a bodybuilder.
Did you see his numbers?
Yeah, his squats and
like,
bench.
I swear, I think I read he squats 720.
Is he going to the Olympics?
I thought that was deadlift.
Is he in the Olympics?
Maybe it was deadlift. It was. Well, he had a top five. We ran. I was like, oh, and then there were only three hats on the table. And
was
I was like,
one of them?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was Bama, Tennessee, Georgia. He grabbed the Georgia hat. Probably got paid.
At least he didn't throw the Tennessee one.
That's true. Now
we're
the Pittman's at Arkansas. We're getting getting a little better.
Guys, is there some real traction with us and Parker Nolan, or is this just people?
Walter Nolan?
I said Parker.
I know.
His name's Walter.
Oh, I thought it was Parker.
Nope, Walter.
Oh. The D-tackle?
Yeah.
Yeah, there is real traction. In fact, I think we got a crystal ball for him.
I think
the
we got
day.
Two crystal balls from him.
Baby.
You don't
in the
say.
Next, in the last couple of days.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
That would be.
PR Trey Smith.
That would be the biggest recruiting get since.
Trey Smith.
Trey Smith.
Trey Smith was number one overall on ESPN.
What are you laughing at?
Sorry. Billy sent me a tweet.
Okay.
It's a math problem.
Okay.
It says it's no parentheses. It's 2 plus 2 times 4.
Okay.
The options in the Twitter poll were 16, 15, 14, or 13. 59% of people picked 16. 2 plus 2 times 4. The tweet says, I don't know what stresses me out more, the fact that 26% of people somehow got 13 as their answer, or the fact that the correct answer isn't even an option, because it should be 10.
Yeah. Does no one remember the order of operations here?
Please excuse my dear Aunt Sally. Come on.
We did Susan, but yeah, okay. Sally, Susan. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, but how many votes? That is pretty funny.
Dabo Sweeney needs to go back to class with those folks.
Technically, Hickman, there are no crystal ball predictions for Walter Nolan. But I did. Someone changed their prediction. Maybe it was I think it was the Rivals. The Rivals future cast. Someone switched it.
Did we talk about Cameron Miller getting dropped from a 4-star to a 3-star?
Yes.
We mentioned it.
Well, speaking of Antonio Gates Jr. and Senior, did you see what happened in the NFL yesterday? They came out with their COVID plan.
Oh, no, I didn't see this.
And basically, it's if you're unvaccinated, you get thrown in prison. And if your team doesn't have enough players to play because of that, then
you
forfeit the game.
I read that.
And the opponent doesn't get paid.
Oh.
Got to keep everybody safe.
I read this a few months back where it was like, if you're vaccinated, you live free. And if not, like, you can't hang around the team. You can't travel with them. You can't eat dinner with them or by yourself. Like, it's crazy.
Well, it's worse than that now. If you're unvaccinated and you test positive, you're in 10-day quarantine. If you're vaccinated and you test positive, they'll keep testing you until you get 2 negative tests. And then you're fine and good to go.
All right.
DeAndre Hopkins drew the biggest headlines because he tweeted what's now deleted, but said, quote, "Never thought I would say this, but being in a position to hurt my team because I don't want to partake in the vaccine is making me question my future in the NFL.
Well, he should hold off at least a week, too.
I think John Reed tweeted something. People are really confused that aren't tight, that don't know John.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't realize why he was tweeting. We'll just take 1 week one off or something like that. Because obviously, Titans. Hopkins deleted it, but then also tweeted later, just freedom, ? Los Angeles Rams cornerback Jalen Ramsey responded to well-known quarterbacks coach Quincy Avery.
Old Quincy.
With that.
Yeah.
Yes. JG's or was he? JG?
Dobbs.
Oh, okay.
Quincy Avery tweeted, "Definitely a bad teammate if you don't get the vax now."
Yikes.
Jalen Ramsey quote tweeted that and said, "I know two people right now who got the vaccine but are COVID positive." And then did the palms up emoji. "I'm just saying, I wouldn't look at a teammate as bad if he don't get the vax." and then said no pressure from five. I don't know.
It's funny that like the NFL likes to
think. I
think
he moved his number to five.
Mm. Yeah, he did.
Oh, he's saying I'm not putting pressure on my teammates to get vaccinated. Ezekiel Elliott grew up in a house where his parents like didn't believe in vaccines
at all. Mm-hmm.
He said I got the vaccine just because I wanted to put myself in the best situation to be out there for my team week in and week out. But I mean, not everyone feels that strongly, or maybe other people still have their view of vaccines. You can't force someone to do something that they don't want to do to their body. He said, and he was diagnosed with COVID last summer, but he still got the vaccine. He said, quote, where we didn't get vaccines growing up, so it's kind of hard to tell someone who their whole life, their mom, their dad, tell them not to get vaccinated, to go get vaccinated. So, I mean, it's everybody's body. Can't tell them what to do with it. So, I mean, it's kind of touchy. You just can't go and tell somebody.
I think
that's exactly what the NFL is doing.
I'm not a...
No, they're not. They're just saying your life's going to be hell if you don't.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of this policy, but I'm not going to speak out of both sides of my mouth here. Like, the NFL is a private entity. They're able to do what they want. If that's the policy they want to set forth, that's their right to do it. By all means, go ahead.
They want you to think you have the freedom to make your own choice, but if you don't make the choice they agree with, they're going to make your life hell.
Right.
So,
well, not only that, I mean, they're basically going to make everyone hate you, because if you're unvaccinated and you cause a game to be forfeited, your own teammates don't get paid and the other team doesn't get paid because the game didn't happen.
How? So
if you're vaccinated, they're going to make every accommodation to try and make sure the game gets played so that everyone can get paid. They're basically making a financial decision.
What, though, is have they changed their rules on what constitutes a breakout or an outbreak?
Don't know. Matt Judson, a linebacker for the Patriots, tweeted, the NFLPA effing sucks. Leonard Fournette tweeted, vaccine, I can't do it. Jalen Richard, running back for the Raiders, said, quote, read the rules, know them like you know your plays. He added, we playing in jail this year, and you should act as such.
Pretty good paycheck for jail.
Well, he's basically saying, like, anything goes. He's like, the rule is there are no rules, is what he's trying to say.
There are rules. I think he's saying, like, if I don't get vaccinated, like, I live in prison, basically. I mean, that's what they said. Like,
those rules, yeah.
Yeah, you can't travel with the team, you can't eat with the team, can't hang out with the team, got a mask up everywhere. Like, that's, you know. Back to expansion. Kirk Bowles said a prominent Big 12 source has told the American Statesman that Texas and Oklahoma's move to the SEC is almost done.
Yes.
They've been working on this for a minimum of 6 months, and Texas A&M's leadership was left out of all discussions and wasn't told about it. The move could be official in a week.
Woo-wee!
That's a pretty quick turnaround.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and hit our break. We'll get to the phone lines on the flip side to kick off hour three.
I'll make an exception.
We'll bump the depot.
No, we can just go into it. Like, again, a lot of my conversation for the depot, I did a psychology experiment, which I thought turned out great, honestly.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about that. So
I've got more
then
info.
Then I might have a rant on Amber Alerts. I don't know. We might get to that.
After the depot, too, I've got more info on the Tennessee Volunteers and what they have to do for COVID policy as they start fall camp, which is 12 days away.
Right around the corner.